Right, so David Cameron wants to stay in. He's been negotiating to get this sort of new deal arranged. He's got this emergency break on migrants in work benefits for 4 years, where there are exceptional levels of migration. The UK will be able to operate the break for up to 7 years. The child benefit for children of EU migrants living overseas will now be paid at a rate based on the cost of living in their home country, applicable immediately for new arrivals and from 2020 for the 34,000 existing claimants. And there's the amending of the EU treaties to state explicitly that references to the requirements to seek ever closer union do not apply to the United Kingdom, meaning Britain can never be forced into political integration. And there's also the ability for the UK to enact an emergency safeguard to protect the City of London, to stop UK firms being forced to relocate into Europe and to ensure British businesses do not face discrimination for being outside the Eurozone. That's it put as simply as we can put the main bits that he's brought back to the table. But the people, the likes of Boris and whoever, who are rejecting Mr. Cameron at the moment, those who are very much with the out argument, they want to restore UK parliamentary democracy and take back control that from what they're describing as unaccountable bureaucrats in Brussels. They want Great Britain to be free of EU interference. They want to indeed decide on who can come to Britain by controlling their borders. The Prime Minister, they're describing the Prime Minister's so-called deal in advance of the referendum as pathetic. I'm not necessarily going to associate Boris with that, because he may have another scheme. He may be wanting to renegotiate. It is so complicated. Let me speak to Jamie DeLargy. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Jamie, will we be able to make up our minds in a reasoned and calm way here, or will we be drifting towards this referendum date still relatively ignorant as to what is the right decision?
The answer to that is no. It's far too complicated, and nobody really knows whether we're going to be better off staying in the EU or be better off outside. We did look at this 40 years ago when there was a vote, and Northern Ireland narrowly voted to stay in. I imagine, on the basis of what happened at that time, that's the way it might go this time round. But uncertainly, but who knows? But you know, could you possibly judge? You reeled off a lot of facts and figures there, Frank. I doubt if anybody out there in the street has a clue what all of that means, and I don't think they can rationally decide on this. It's going to be decided to an extent on your gut feeling. You know, do we want these people meddling in our affairs? Are we better off outside of the EU, or are we stronger within the European community? And but there are some people who I think should be able to make up their minds more easily because of their dependence on European money. The farmers, agriculture is a very marginal activity in the UK. It contributes something like 0.5% to economic output. It's twice as important here in Northern Ireland in terms of economic output, and it employs 4 times as many people proportionately. If we didn't have that EU money, the single farm payment, it's changed its name, I think it's called the basic payment, farmers would have made a loss last year of about £50 million collectively. So farmers really are dependent on the EU in the way that other people aren't. And strangely enough, the UFU hasn't made up its mind whether it wants to stay or not. Now, the argument is that all the money we would save from not being in the EU, we could use that to pay the farmers. But since farming is so marginal across the UK, would the farmers be given the level of grants that they've got in the past? I severely doubt it. One of the things that people argue in favour of leaving the EU is that we would be freed from the high prices that are part of the EU arrangement, the high food prices. So everything points to there being lower subsidies rather than higher subsidies for farmers.
Let me ask you a question about prices generally. If we come out of Europe using your economic genius, would prices in the shops go up, go down, or stay similar to where they are?
Well, food prices might well come down. That would be, as I say, to the disbenefit of farmers or to the disadvantage of farmers. Overall, it's just impossible to say. These things are just too imponderable for people to get their heads around. For nobody really knows, because once you're in the new situation, things would happen that nobody would have anticipated or forecast or predicted. One of the things, I'm sort of slightly dodging the question, Frank, because here's a more important thing. People say they'll be free of all these EU rules. Look at Norway, which of course has got an enormous amount of oil, which we don't have anymore. Look at Switzerland, which is in a particular place. These countries are very successful and are not part of the EU. But, you know...
Maybe my imagination, but I get the impression if you go to see a football match in Switzerland or Norway, prices are very high.
Prices are very high, but here's a more important point. When they trade, as they do quite a bit with the rest of the EU, Norway has to abide by EU regulations, and likewise Switzerland does the same. So the fact that we'd be out wouldn't mean we'd be free of all these burdensome EU rules and regulations. We would have to do what they told us, because in a sense, they take something like 50% of all our trade, that is the UK trade, and we would have to basically live up to their expectations. And so there wouldn't be a matter of saying, well, look, this is the way it is, you'll take it or leave it. The UK is really, it's a big economy, it's the fifth biggest economy in the world, which is, you know, it's quite a lot to be. You know, that's a pretty important statistic. At the same time, when you look at it in the overall scheme of things, it's a small fish in a rather big global pond. And it will have to do what people tell it to do. It will not be able to negotiate and lay down terms the way it might have done were there a British Empire. It will be, of course, it will negotiate and it will be able to do deals. But the idea that it will be able to settle its terms is just madness. It won't be. It will be one small voice among a whole cacophony of people, a whole cacophony of traders and dealers and countries and negotiators, and it won't be able to set the terms. Now, at the same time, there is an entrepreneurial spirit here in these islands, which will be given probably greater rein, more free rein, and say once it's out of the EU. And so what happens? But it's not as if somehow when we're out, things are going to look bright and rosy. It will be very difficult. It might well be something that would turn to our advantage, but you wouldn't know. It certainly is going to be a lot more rocky than I think some of those who urge Brexit are really appreciate.
I just noticed one figure here. Less than 5% of UK businesses trade directly with the EU but have to adhere to all EU directives. That's obviously a point from those who want to come out. But it's a small percentage of UK businesses trading directly with the EU, yet and all they all have the laws imposed upon them.
Yes, but these are all the smaller businesses and some extent they have got imposed on them all these regulations. They're saying, well, why do I need them? I don't even trade with Europe and I'm having to abide by all these different laws and regulations. And yes, to some extent they would be spared all that, and it would be a benefit to them. But you know, we're only going to grow if we trade. And by definition, if they're not trading with the EU, they're probably not trading with the rest of the world. So we're never going to get rich and get terribly prosperous off the backs of those smaller companies, which, as I say, are only trading, as you've sort of explained it, within the UK. I mean, that's not really going to be the source of our income and our wealth in the future.
What about the border, Jamie? Will we have a situation where the juggernauts are stopping at a customs post to have their documentation scanned? Will there be queues on the carriageway at Carrickdale, or is that just in my imagination?
Well, you know, there's a school of thought that if the UK pulls out of the EU, that then the EU becomes really unpleasant about it and demands that goods or lorries are searched and that there's all manner of controls on borders. I don't think that's the way it's going to go. I don't know that it's going to be that much different. At the same time, if we are completely outside of the EU and a lorry is travelling from north to south, unless we have a very well worked out trade agreement between north and south, then there is the potential, which wouldn't be north and south, it would be between the UK and the EU, because they, obviously the Republic would stay within the EU, then you could see the potential for all sorts of difficulties. But I don't think it's in anybody's interest to do that. So I'm not sure that it would hugely change. But there would need to be. If we were in the position, let's say, of, like, let's say, being in, take an example, Singapore, and we were trying to bring our lorries or our goods into to the Republic. Let me explain. If we were Singapore and we were trying to bring stuff into the Republic, you would face a certain level of checks, and presumably that could apply if we were outside of the EU and trying to do the same thing as the Singaporeans.
So the idea of a border is a possibility. I know there'll be some politicians who'd love to see a border, but that isn't, it's not guaranteed, but it could be a hassle going from Uri to Dundalk.
Well, it could be, but I really don't think it would be in anybody's interest to have such a problem. And I certainly think people passing through wouldn't face the same checks and balances. At the same time, there would be a feeling that, given that there would be the free movement of, I mean, the EU is built around these freedoms, free movement of capital, free movement of goods and services, and also the thing that annoys people or concerns some people, the free movement of labour. Now, that labour would be able to move from, let's say, Romania or Bulgaria into the Republic. Then there would need to be, if you wanted to, if the, one of your motivations for coming out of the EU was to protect your borders, those people would be free to move to Dundalk and then pass through the border and come up and work in Northern Ireland. You would have to then have checks and controls, because this would be, if you like, the underbelly of the EU, of the UK. This would be the easy point of entry, because of course it's a land border. So presumably then you would need some form of controls to stop these migrants moving from the south, which would be freely able to go into, up to the north, and then across into Scotland and England. So you could imagine there would be controls and to that extent. But again, I really think it's going to be like last time. A lot of people are going to think, well, this is there. I can see a lot in favour of leaving the EU. I can see lots of advantages, but hold on, the risks are too great, and I think marginally Northern Ireland will do what it did last time, vote to stay in, and B, the UK will do likewise. People will just at the last minute begin to think, do you know what, I'm not sure about this, I'm really not sure about this, and I know what I've got. It might be annoying, but at least it doesn't hold all sorts of terrors for us. But who knows? Who knows? But that's my gut feeling.
Do you think the Northern Irish voter has the ability to make up his or her own mind without being influenced by the traditional political party they vote for?
No, I don't think so. I don't really think so. But I don't think anybody... Look, there's no point in pretending. I mean, clearly you notified me that you wanted to talk to me about this. So in the last hour, I have been reading what people are saying on this. And you know what? It's all this on the one hand and the other hand. There is no clear consensus about people who study these things that would be better off in or out. There are particular problems for Northern Ireland because of the size of our farming industry and its dependence on EU grants. There are particular problems because of our land border with the south and the problems of controls and also the movement of lorries across the border. I mean, it's different if you're moving across the channel. You can see that, there are controls that would be easy to imagine new controls at Calais stroke Dover. But and we would then have potentially have to set that up. You can see also, which makes it extremely difficult for Northern Ireland, I think, even if the UK as a whole can prosper and do better outside of the EU, it's conceivably a bit of a nightmare for us, but at the same time, it could be managed. But I think overall, I think those sort of considerations, when politicians, if you like, explain them in some detail, will make people just that bit nervous in Northern Ireland and equally in the rest of the UK about leaving. But, you know, if you're asking me, can anybody rationally make their minds up about this? No, there are too many things you just don't know about. You couldn't predict, you couldn't forecast, you wouldn't know the consequences of, and in fact, they're too complicated to get your head around anyway, even if you had all the information to hand.
Okay, well, it's good to know that it's even confusing you to some extent, Jamie. I don't feel so bad now. Thanks for your time this morning. Thank you. Jamie De Largy.